These Days.
This is Kids These Days.
Spring is in the air, and this weekend is a big one for young people and for adults who support kids' activities. Both Kids Day and National and Global Youth Service Day are coming up. We'll talk about upcoming Anchorage events and opportunities, and we'll explore how volunteering can empower children and the whole family. Also this hour, we travel to the Southwest community of Neustugahawk to learn about how one person can make a big impact in a community. That's another edition of The Power of One today on the show. That and more, stick with us. In case you didn't know it, Anchorage's Promise hosts a Kids Day event each year, and it's coming soon. More than 70 youth-serving organizations and businesses will be offering interactive activities for kids of all ages at the Dena'ina Center this Saturday, April 16th. Kids Day is from 10 to 4, and it's free, and all are welcome to attend. Kids Day in Anchorage coincides with a worldwide youth event called Global Youth Service Day. As its name suggests, Global Youth Service Day is a movement to get kids everywhere, out and about in ways that better their communities and the world. So today we're learning more about Kids Day and the group that puts it on, and we're hearing about ways that young people volunteer and engage in our world to help make it a better place. I'm joined in the studio today by Nyla Riley. Nyla is 14 years old and is a student at Polaris K-12 school in Anchorage. She serves on the Anchorage's Promise Youth Advisory Board, where she's currently busy planning the Teen City Center stage event that's happening at Kids Day. Nyla's volunteered her time at a number of places over the years, including with the Anchorage Youth Court. Thanks so much for being on the program today, Nyla.
Thank you.
And also with me in Anchorage is Debbie Bogart. Debbie is the executive director of Anchorage's Promise, the Alliance for Youth. Anchorage's Promise is a collaborative organization that helps local partners deliver services for young people. Debbie's worked with volunteers for over 25 years. She's done that in areas of public education, faith-based organizations, and nonprofits. Debbie's the mother of three and says she believes volunteering is an activity that enriches and strengthens the family unit. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
And last but certainly not least is Heather Jack. Heather founded the Volunteer Family in 2003, a nonprofit organization that helps families, especially families with children, find volunteer opportunities. The Volunteer Family is now a national organization that's enabled 18,000 volunteers to choose from among 30,000 opportunities in their own neighborhoods. She's also the founder of Future Philanthropists, which teaches young people about nonprofits and entrusts them to give away real money to these organizations. Heather is also the mother of two and says their favorite family volunteer activity is to bring dinner to elders. Heather's joining us by phone today from Ashland, Massachusetts. Thanks so much for being here, Heather.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'd like to ask first, Debbie Bogart, you're the executive director of Anchorage's Promise, and I've read that Anchorage's Promise is based on five promises. Could you articulate what those are for us?
The five promises are national standards that were set in 1997 by America's Promise, which was founded by General Powell and the living presidents of that time. And they found, after a call to action to Philadelphia across the nation, people came from all over the United States, including Anchorage, that there are five basic fundamental resources that children needed: caring adults in their lives, safe places, opportunities to help others, effective education, and also a healthy start and future. And those five promises also align with the developmental assets. They align with a lot of different projects and services that most of our agencies, our after-school programs, are involved in. And they're the core language that we as a community can come around for our children and help support.
So then how does Anchorage's Promise and this annual event, Kids Day, how do they relate to each other?
Well, we believe it brings the promises alive, because when we send out the call and the invitation for different organizations to register to come to Kids Day, and they set up their informational booth or their exhibit at Kids Day, they have the opportunity to reach out into our community and across the south part of Alaska on all of the different resources that are available for families, for children, and for teens. So each year, we see over 15,000 people come through that event, and they take away information that's free, or it's affordable, or new ideas that they can bring into their family and into their lives of their children and help support them.
And Nyla Riley, in your introduction, I mentioned that you, as a member of the Anchorage's Promise Youth Advisory Board, that you're planning the Teen City Center stage event that's happening at Kids Day. I want to know a little bit about that, because is it true that that's a new thing happening this year?
Yeah, it's very new, actually. It's going to be really exciting. A whole bunch of live teen performances are going to happen, so that's something to look forward to. Graffiti walls, just a place for teens to kind of hang out and learn a lot of different things, I guess.
Cool. Well, Heather Jack, you, as I mentioned in your introduction, you founded a couple of national organizations that are focused on families volunteering and also young people getting involved in philanthropy. Tell me a little bit about, let's take the first one first, the Volunteer Family.
Right. Yeah, the Volunteer Family is a nonprofit organization that I started in 2003. I had volunteered a lot when I was younger, but then started working in the corporate world and really found it difficult to have the time to get back out and volunteer. But when I had my daughter in 2003, I really wanted to get back into the volunteering that I'd done when I was younger. So as I started talking to other parents, I realized that a lot of parents really wanted to get involved in their own communities with their kids, but they find it difficult to find places where they can go with them. So I started the Volunteer Family to enable families and kids to be able to find places where they can go and help their own communities.
So is that what it took, was just an easy place for families who wanted to volunteer to find the information about how to go about it?
I think that's a lot of it, because we have gotten a lot of interest from different families. You know, our mission is really to make it easy for families to find places where they can go, and I think that's a lot of it, just accessibility to knowing what you can do.
And how does volunteering as a family look different from what your experience was before you had a family, for example?
Well, I think that, you know, when parents model the behaviors of volunteering and giving back to the community, it's easier for kids to pick up on those. So then, you know, they'll learn from that and start growing. But it's a great way to teach your kids about giving back to others, about compassion and understanding for other people. It's a great way for them to learn and grow about whatever interest area that they are actually volunteering in. So whether, you know, it's a gardening project, whether it's a project for the homeless, it's a great teachable moment.
And the Future Philanthropist, this is slightly different from what the Volunteer Family is doing, correct?
Right. Yeah, the Future Philanthropist is really an after-school program for teenagers, where we give a group of teens $5,000 or $10,000, depending on the age of the students, and they go through a process where they learn about their own community needs, their own interests, and they work together to go and visit different nonprofit organizations in their own region, and then come back together to collectively choose nonprofit organizations that will receive that funding.
Well, speaking of teenagers, our fearless teen reporter, Aviva Hirsch, is back with more voices from the halls of West Anchorage High School. This time she asked her peers if they volunteered, and if so, the how, where, and why of it. She also asked whether volunteering is meaningful for them.
Teens in Anchorage have a lot of opportunity to volunteer. I asked them how they felt their activities benefit the community and their personal well-being.
I help people out after school if they need help with any homework that they're doing, and I specialize in helping people with learning disabilities and special needs.
I used to teach some riding lessons at Huffman Horse Center, where there were younger kids, and we teach camps in the summer for kids to learn to ride.
I first got into volunteering with Anchorage Youth Corps just because the idea of the activity seemed interesting to me. Since I've joined, my motivations have in part been out of a desire to actually accomplish the goals of the organization and reduce juvenile crime in Anchorage.
At the school, I started last year bringing musicians over to perform for the kids and show them their instruments. And then this year, we've been having dance groups come over.
Yeah, I have volunteered through my church, like feeding the homeless and doing the church events and being in the praise team. And also at Providence Hospital, just with a cardiologist, I would help him like round with patients and kind of interact with them and go to the emergency rooms and, you know, like do some of the dirty work at the hospitals.
I like to, as corny as it sounds, just help people. I think it's a really rewarding experience. So as often as possible, I just like to get out in the community and I guess give back.
I enjoy getting another look at the cross section of my community, and I enjoy meeting other teenagers who have an interest in serving their community and in the idea of justice.
I kind of just volunteer without even realizing that it's community service.
I knew a woman named Sister Diane, who was a nun when I went to a private school when I was younger, and she always told me that God gave me gifts and that they're meant to be shared. And I've always been a little academically inclined, and so when I found that there were kids who needed help, that I knew that was my place and that I needed to help them.
I'm not sure I can say exactly why I volunteer, but it's just something that I do and I enjoy doing.
I think the most enjoyable part was watching kids who were at the beginning either fearful of horses or they weren't sure about it, getting to know their horse and enjoying and feeling confident riding the horse by themselves.
The whole process of volunteering with Youth Court specifically has helped me to gain social skills. It's helped me to realize the value of time and effort.
It helped me grow to learn to teach. It was good work for people skills. Some of the kids had disabilities as well, and so that was interesting to work with and good to see that side.
I've learned a lot through volunteering. I meet a lot of people, and especially a lot of people kind of like me and who have sort of the same values as I do.
I've definitely grown as a person, and I've been able to relate to people more. I used to not really understand when people wouldn't get things, but I've been able to see it from their side, and I've been able to notice that the kids in the classroom who are disruptive aren't disruptive just to be disruptive. It's normally because they need help.
I feel more connected to Anchorage, to where I live, especially to the students at Mountain View Elementary, and I know a lot of their names, and a lot of them kind of recognize me when I come into classrooms.
By volunteering at a variety of different venues, I've been able to see a lot more different types of people and broaden my horizon.
I think personally I've learned a tremendous amount about our legal system. I've learned a tremendous amount about how people across our community live just by working with all sorts of defendants and colleagues in court. I've learned about, you know, the workings of a nonprofit organization, and I think all of that's come together to make me, on the whole, I would say, a better person.
Most of the kids I know volunteer at least a couple times a year, but I think that it's unfortunate that a lot of kids volunteer purely for the community service hours and not for the personal benefit.
I think it's a little more undermined. I mean, I think there's a reason why colleges and universities put a lot of incentives into community service and volunteer work, because it is important, but a lot of people wouldn't see it as, you know, as critical if it wasn't necessary for college.
Maybe pick a day in your week, if you have a Saturday, if you have an afternoon of a weekday after school that you can volunteer. That would be really great to kind of do it every week. You should never think that what you're going to volunteer will be too small, because it really does make a difference, and you might end up doing a lot more than you would have thought.
With Alaska Teen Media Institute, this is Aviva Hirsch.
Aviva reporting from inside West Anchorage High School here in Anchorage. This is Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I'm speaking today with Debbie Bogart, Heather Jack, and Nyla Riley about youth, families, and volunteer service. You can email your comments right now to us at mail@kidsthesedays.org. And Debbie Bogart, listening to that piece, I heard a lot of things that I'd like to ask you about, since you're so active in the community through Anchorage's Promise with some of the activities that young people are doing. I heard a lot of kids saying that they like volunteering because they're giving back. I heard a lot of kids talking about how their opportunities come through some faith-based opportunities, and that through volunteering, they feel more connected to the community. And then, of course, at the end, we heard some kids saying that maybe some kids are active, not so much because of what it gives them, but because it looks good on a resume or a college application. Mm-hmm. What are some of your responses to those?
First of all, I thought that the report that Aviva did was just excellent, because it really gives all of us as adults a glimpse of why kids are engaged in giving back to their community. And I have to say that I think it really starts in the home with the parents' philosophy and encouragement that their children get out into the community, become connected with the community. And also within the classroom, a lot of our teachers who are encouraging kids to get involved. And those kids who want to get involved are learning right now the value of it. They're understanding that they're connected to their community. They're getting some career or vocational experience. They're being able to make decisions as leaders. Their voice is being heard. And yes, there are those who are doing it purely for the community service hours or the additional credit they might receive in high school or classes. But I would bet every one of those youth, if you sat down with them one-on-one, they would give you a value statement. They would say, I learned this from this. It was very important to me. I realize now that this is something that I can continue to do.
Nyla Riley, you are within the Anchorage School District. You go to Polaris, as we mentioned before. I'm wondering, does your school environment support service and service learning projects?
Yes, most definitely. Community service is a huge thing in my school's community.
Heather Jack, you, I would imagine, are familiar with some evidence that might support or some research that might support that youth engagement in volunteerism and in philanthropy maybe has some effect on young people.
I'd specifically like to speak, if I could, to the community service requirement issue. I think that, you know, generally, whatever the motivation is, volunteering is really a great way to get involved in your community. But it is to be noted that required service is linked to later volunteering. There was a study done at a high school both prior to and following the introduction of a community service requirement. And what the researchers found is that those whose service was required had the same gains in civic interest and behavior following the service activities. So the bottom line is that volunteering, whether mandatory or not, is a great way to build a child's character and help your local community at the same time.
I'd like to mention that according to a study by the Search Institute, young people are 50% less likely to abuse drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, or engage in other destructive behavior if they volunteer at least 1 hour per week. And the Search Institute, I should also say, Deb Bogart mentioned the developmental assets framework that's related to the Search Institute. And also, a lot of the work that our primary funder, the Association of Alaska School Boards Initiative for Community Engagement, they're highly involved in developmental assets work. But going back to that quote, that young people who engage in volunteering at least 1 hour per week are less likely, 50% less likely to do some of these risky behaviors like drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and other destructive behaviors. I'd love to hear your comments about that, Heather Jack.
Whether it's a cause and effect or, you know, a correlation, it's hard to say on that particular one. But I think that definitely volunteering leads to more positive feelings and more positive feelings among the youth who are doing it. So it leads to higher self-esteem. It leads to learning new skills, and all of that, of course, draws teens away from destructive behaviors such as those that were mentioned. So one other good study is that there was a 2005 study from the Corporation for National and Community Service, which showed that a youth from a family where at least one parent volunteers is almost twice as likely to volunteer when they grow up as well. So that speaks to Debbie's point that she made earlier.
That modeling behavior is important in the home.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Exactly.
Yep. And we also know that youth who are connected to their community that are appreciated by the community because they're doing meaningful service. They're involved in their community, have that sense of belonging, and they're more likely to make the positive choices as they go through life. They're more likely to think about returning back to their state or their community area to live once they've gone through that vocational or higher education training. So connecting to your community at an early age and to adults within your community who support you, projects that are meaningful, is a very valuable opportunity and just growing point for our children and our youth. And I think that's why it's important. Kids can start volunteering in preschool by going with mom or dad to an event or helping at their preschool program and all the way through high school, college, and on into life. So connecting to the community, connecting to that project or to the family in some way is so important to know how they can give. Kids are giving. They want to give back, too. Whether it's baking cookies for the neighbor or it's doing pillows for Providence Hospital. They want to give back to that community in a meaningful way.
So why is volunteering that kind of engagement, why is that different than, say, a teenager who is working at a local business a block away from their home? Or why is it different from the kind of engagement that kids are already getting in school?
I think it's because it's self-directed. It's a self-interest. You may start out with a parent or with a classroom project that sounds really cool and something you want to be involved in. But I think it strikes an interest in that child, or it broadens their area of interest, and they begin to seek, or they begin to research, or look at their community in a different way, or maybe I could do this. I want to get involved here. They begin to take it personally into them and look beyond the walls of their home or their church or their school into their community and understanding what their community is, what the needs of their community are, and how they can be a very valuable member of that community and help by giving back.
Volunteering really gives an opportunity for a youth to learn about people who are from different backgrounds and beliefs. They're able to talk with people who they might not normally be associated with. So it's a great way to learn about different people.
Well, recognizing young people for volunteer service may not seem like anything new. National Youth Service Day and Global Youth Service Day have been around for a couple of decades now, but it may be a little harder to figure out just how young people get into the service work they choose to do. Kids These Days' Jessica Cochran has more on Global Youth Service Day and some of the very young Alaskans it celebrates.
Global Youth Service Day got its start back in the late 1980s. The first year, it was a day-in-the-life photo project documenting the contributions of young people in their communities in the United States. Then it became a National Youth Day of Service. The global part came after Youth Service America CEO Steve Culbertson worked in Russia in 1998 with 300 high school students.
One of them, a young man named Yevgeny, who was 14, suggested that Russian kids might want to do service projects and celebrate their contributions on the same day as the American kids, and could that be possible? And right there was born the idea of taking National Youth Service Day and turning it into Global Youth Service Day. And first day we did it in the year 2000, we had 10,000 kids in Russia alone, and then 27 countries.
To organize Global Youth Service Day, YSA works with regional organizers on six continents, country partners in more than 100 countries, and state and local partner organizations. But there's no need to be affiliated with an organization. Any kid with an idea and a plan for a project can register on the GYSD website. Then their project will show up on a Google map of the world.
And it really maps out the idea that kids are part of a global movement, that kids are part of a new generation which is digging in, finding their voice, taking action, and having impact on the big problems facing the world.
Culbertson says young people are volunteering at record rates. He says it's not surprising, given that cable TV and the internet give them more exposure to all the problems in the world. GYSD is meant to celebrate all the great work being done by young people all the time, as well as draw more people in.
Just as, you know, we would get kids, you know, aspire to be a great athlete or a great musician, you don't start when you're 18, you don't start when you're 30. You start when you're young.
Plenty of Alaskan kids are building up that experience from a young age, and they get involved in all kinds of ways. In schools, raising money for disaster relief, the hurricane in Haiti, the Japanese earthquake, is common. Some students participate in service learning projects, like reading to kids at a daycare or to the kids in a special ed classroom down the hall. Others follow their own personal experiences and interests to start service work. At 11 years old, Wasilla's Sam Allred has already written a book and started a nonprofit foundation, Kindness for Kids, to provide some comfort to kids during long hospital stays.
I started this project of making some pillows because before, when I was hospitalized, I received a pillow from some Girl Scouts, and it just kind of made me feel really good. Just to know that someone cares for kids in the hospital.
Sam has a rare kidney disease and has had some long hospital stays. His pillow project received a $500 grant from the Initiative for Community Engagement, which also funds this radio program. He and his mom give presentations in schools about kindness and compassion for others. Then the school kids help sew and stuff the pillows. Sam is also raising money to purchase fun centers kids can use when they're at Providence Children's Hospital.
It's just kind of like with a Wii system and stuff, and it can go over like the person's bed and they can play. And also I'm working on getting these PC pals.
Kiefer Brown has another fundraising project. He decorates candles with natural things he finds on the beach, sells them in Seldovia in the summer, and donates the money to the Alaska Sea Life Center to adopt a harbor seal. He donated $1,300 last year. This year, he hopes to make it $1,500. 12-year-old Joshua Barton is still working up to his big service project. As a Boy Scout, he's volunteered at fundraising runs, cleaned up the church parking lot where his troop meets, and collected food at Scouting for Food events, like the one held throughout Anchorage this past weekend. But his biggest project will come when he's working toward becoming an Eagle Scout. That requires coming up with an idea, raising money, organizing, and executing a community service project. Service is a big part of scouting.
Because then it shows people that scouts can help out the community. And it's a good feeling that you know you'll help somebody.
By the time these young people hit 20 years old, they'll each have had a decade or so of service experience and all the learning that comes with it. I'm Jessica Cochran.
You're listening to Kids These Days today on this listener-supported station. Today, the conversation is all about volunteerism and what that can look like for kids and for families. We'll learn more from our guests in a minute, Heather Jack, Debbie Bogart, and Nyla Riley. Coming up after the break, we'll have another installment of The Power of One. This time, we meet an inspiring man from New Stoyahawk whose work with local youth is helping the whole community. We'll be back in just a minute.
I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
Sing with me, y'all.
One word, one word. We only got one word, one word. That's all we got, one word.
Kids These Days.
It's time again for another Kids These Days conversation about family travel. Guests Scott McMurrin and Aaron Kirkland come back to give their top five recommendations for the best trips you can take with the whole gang, both in and out of state. We'll get an on-the-road family travel update from our regular contributor, and we'll listen to Alaskans remember trips from yesteryear in another installment of When I Was Young. All that and travel tips from listeners like you. Don't miss the next Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy. Tune in to KSKA and join me Tuesdays at 2 and again at 7 p.m. We're back. This is Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy, your host. I'm talking with Debbie Bogart, Heather Jack, and Nyla Riley today. We're discussing the value of volunteerism and the role of positive activities for kids and the whole family. But before we get back to that conversation, RuralCAP, which is short for Rural Alaska Community Action Program, supports the efforts of Birch AmeriCorps members who are in service all across Alaska. Birch stands for Building Initiatives in Rural Community Health, and these volunteers work for a year or more with local health providers and community residents to identify and then address the most pressing local issues. They also engage with youth, families, and elders in their work, focusing on health education, substance abuse prevention, and wellness. The village of New Stoyahawk is on the banks of the Nooshigak River about 50 miles northeast of Dillingham. Among its 500 residents is Wassily Gust Sr. Wassily Gust goes by a few names, Wally for those who can't pronounce Wassily. He's Deacon Wassily Gust for the Orthodox Church in Neustoyahawk, or Neustu, as it's often called. And he's known to the kids as Upa Wally. Upa means grandfather in Yupik. And while he does have his own grandkids, he says all the youth in Neustu call him Upa Wally. Today's show is all about volunteering and service to others. And Deacon Wassily is in his second year as a Rural Cap Birch AmeriCorps volunteer. This warm, charismatic man with an infectious smile gives 40 hours of his time each week to help improve his community. One way he does that is by energizing the local youth to take positive action. I recently spoke to Wassily Gust.
When we had started, I first of all got 14 kids involved, got them signed up, and we brainstormed what they wanted for the name of the group, because I just didn't want in general youth action group or youth club. And they came up with Matakavit, and that's the mascot for the sports programs at Neustoyahawk, which means the Eagles. And so when we had sat down to decide what it is that we want or they wanted to do, they came up with a bunch of ideas, and so we narrowed it down to exactly what it is that they wanted to do. And one of the main projects that they wanted to do was build these signs. And, you know, one of the boys came up with building signs, and said, "Well, let's kind of narrow that down. What sort of signs are you thinking about?" And they got into discussion about, in the communities, we may have one major road, so to speak, and lots of offshoots in the community. And during the summer, fall, winter, well, year round practically, during the summer and the fall, spring, Hondas use these trails, and during the winter, snow machines use these trails. And some of the community members, especially the older ones, don't often look to the right or to the left before crossing. And one of the kids had a concern about that and came up with the idea of building these signs. And I asked what it is that they wanted to have on these signs. And they said, "Well, you know, like in Anchorage or in the big cities where they say caution, kids at play or slow down." And all the ideas were thought up by them. And this is great, cool idea. So how are we going to do this here? And they did all the work, the measuring, the sawing. And it was quite an experience how they measured, how they sawed. But all in all, they came to completing the project. And the main thing was to make the signs. They identified, I think it was 17 locations, specific locations that they wanted the signs to go up in, where there's off trails. And so they cut these signs into, what was it, like two by four or something like that, 2 feet, 4 feet long. And the posts themselves are 8 feet. So I want the boys or the youth to dig at least 3 feet and post them permanently. And so when all the leftover material, they came up with to either build flower beds or birdhouses. Well, so they decided on building birdhouses, and that's the project that they're working on. At this point in time, they have approximately 30 birdhouses built, and you should excuse me for laughing, but you should see some of the birdhouses, you know. Kind of lopsided, and you know, some of them were, I was teasing and joking them, that how are these birds going to sleep in their homes when they're lopsided, you know. But that's beside the point. They had fun creating that, and the intention was to make at least 85, one for each home. Oh. And they're still in the process of finishing them. In our meetings there, they had I asked what it is that you want to make improvements in the community of Neustu, and they came up with a list of what would I call this here? I guess, for a lack of a better word, the pains that they see in the community of what's going on. And one of the things that they wanted to do was do a role play on alcohol abuse. And, you know, that didn't really materialize, but they still have that intention because of what they see that's going on in the community. And along in that same line, you know, there's domestic violence and I guess any troubles that any community has in rural Alaska, and the youth are concerned enough to want to do something about that. It's just that they need to come out and work with their peers and help community as a whole to the best of their knowledge. You know, mm-hmm. They don't have all the. Well, in fact, no one has the information. I mean, not information, but the answers. The answers lies within itself. It's just a matter of having somebody pry the answer out for others to heal. And that's one of the things that youth wanted to do.
And you're helping them. I mean, it seems like you're a pretty important part of their being able to do that.
Yeah. I let them decide, kind of basically decide what it is that they want to do, you know. I offer suggestions of what it is that, you know, I would like to see. But the ultimate decision comes down with what it is that they want to do, because, you know, if I push and say what I want, then, it, you know, they may be turned off and say, you know, why can't we have a say, or why can't we do what we want to do? So I've kind of let them go in that role. It instills pride in them, and it instills that they are valuable to the community, and you know, it's a way for them to show to their peers and to the younger youth that you know. Kids can get involved, or, you know, we, the adults and community members, should take the time to listen to our youth and to see what it is that they want. All too often, we sort of neglect our youth, especially today, you know, with the modern technology and everything else that's somewhat or that's taken over with the majority of our communities, we often lose sight of our kids. And I want to rebuild that the way I grew up, where everybody looked out for each other, regardless of whether you're an immediate child or a grandchild, or, you know, the community was in unity. When I was growing up, and I want to bring that back, where everybody is looking out for everybody. And, you know, in my view, today seems like it's a I world. It's me. We've lost the we portion in the communities there, and that's what hurting not only our youth, but our elders and those in between. So we need to get back to what one guy quoted to me was to get back to basics of life and to our grassroots.
That's Deacon Wassily Gust in his second year of volunteer service for Rural CAP's Birch AmeriCorps program. If you want to see photos of Upawali and the new Stoyahak Metechavit youth group working on their service projects, go to kidsthesedays.org right now. We have a slideshow there for you to see. Link to information about becoming a Birch AmeriCorps volunteer, and listen to previous profiles in our Power of One series. You're listening to Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and today I'm speaking with Heather Jack, Nyla Riley, and Debbie Bogart. And Upawali used the word intention. He talked about the youth group themselves and their intention. The crooked birdhouses, but the intention was there. And he also talked about his own intention and his own attention that he brought to this volunteer position that he's in. How important is intention when it comes to families when they volunteer, when it comes to adults, when they choose to be mentors in a volunteer type situation, and then children themselves. How is intention a word that we can apply to what we're talking about when it comes to volunteerism?
Yeah, I think that I think it's very important, because half of the benefit is for the community, of course, because you're volunteering for a specific cause, but a large part of it is for the youth themselves and the intrinsic benefits that they get from it. So whether I think intention is a perfect word, because if a youth intends to do something great for the community, that is what that's what really matters. And whether it's a it perfectly helps the community or not, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but if the intention is there, then that youth will go on in their lives and continue to contribute.
Nyla, did you have a response?
Yeah, I did, actually. I just kind of, like, back to the intentions things, the Anchorage's Promise Youth Advisory Board, our intentions, you know, we just want to show some of the one, at least one of the five promises. So whatever we do, kind of, like Mr. Wally said, how he just lets the kids go on their own. Kind of, I think that's great, because if you give someone a task and say, "Hey, do this," it's not going to be nearly as fun. So that's kind of how Debbie has done with us, as well as Nicole. They give us a task, and we just know whatever we do, it has to represent one of the promises. So that's kind of our intentions.
At Kids These Days, we like to hear questions from our listeners, from people who go to our online resources. And one question that's come up several times over the period of time that we've been producing the show has been related to volunteerism, specifically with political movements or campaigns. We've heard parents asking, when is it the right time, and in what way is the right way to get young to get their kids, to get young people involved in a political movement or a campaign? Heather Jack, since you're looking at this from sort of a national perspective, maybe I could have you answer that first for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the political campaigns and the process is actually a great way to introduce kids to the concept of volunteering for others. There are a number of different things that kids can do in the political arena, and it's very easy for them. I know that that personally, my daughter has been in parades since she was 3 years old. I think walking with, you know, certain candidates that are out there. And as you get older, you know, you can do the phone banking, canvassing, door-to-door canvassing, especially if an adult goes with you, of course. You can help post signs or carry signs. And it's a great way for teenagers to remain, you know, if they end up remaining in contact with specific campaigns, they can really get to know those officials and become available then for future volunteer or professional opportunities.
Sometimes in political type situations and in debate and in campaigns, the conversation can be heated. It can sometimes be hurtful. How does a parent or a caregiver or someone who's working with youth kind of help in a situation that might get a little heated and a little tense?
I think it's a teachable moment to say, you know, that all people disagree, and that that there are certain viewpoints that aren't shared by everyone, and it's a good way to show how to disagree about specific issues without not liking somebody in general. And I think that that's an important distinction to make, is how to debate things on a professional level. And, you know, of course, some political candidates do that better than others. But in any case, even if they don't, it's a teachable moment to say, you know, that they could have done it better, and how could they have done it better.
Debbie Bogart, on a local level, what advice might you have for families that would like to get their kids involved in political kind of volunteerism?
You know, I think my experience is that kids who want to be involved in that are going to start asking the questions at an early age. They're going to hear conversations on the news. They're going to hear conversations in their home. And those are what I would agree are like Heather, those are teachable moments where we sit down with our children and we talk about campaign, what it's about, and we talk about that there's many different ideas and opinions and we need to be accepting of the differences. So first, I think it needs to start in the home if you can. I think also when it comes into the home, you need to have a listening ear to what your children or your young teens want to be involved in. Help them seek out the information they might need or the connections to the avenues that they might need to go to get that further information.
Heather, Jack, before the break, you described how the Future Philanthropists organization that you started works with, you know, giving some money to youth groups and then having the youth groups go through an organized way that they choose where to give that money away. Right. How might young people who aren't involved in that kind of a structured program also get involved in philanthropy before they're adults?
Well, I think there's several different ways that you can do this. I mean, it's important to note that philanthropy in general can encompass either volunteerism or donating to different organizations. And, of course, a lot of nonprofits are stressed out and underfunded, so they always appreciate the donations. But no matter how much you have, it can be a learning experience to think about what types of organizations are the most that you feel the most passionate about, whether it's, you know, the crisis that's happening in Japan or Haiti, or whether you're interested in animals or whether you're worried about global warming. So it's sort of a personal process that teenagers can also go through and decide where they want to donate their own funds, even if it is only, you know, $10 or $25. It's just important to realize that is very important, and if not more so than even volunteering within the community.
I'd like to mention that on a previous Kids These Days episode, we had advice from Neil S. Godfrey, and she talked with us about money savviness for kids and families. And in that conversation, she talks about how from as early as 4 years old, you can have your kids save allowance in such a way that there's room for philanthropic donations. And we'll link to that portion of that show from our website at kidsthesedays.org. And Nyla Riley, you're coming to us today from, I guess you're not in high school today because you're here with us instead. And I'd like to get an idea of what the sort of volunteering opportunity landscape is for young people in Anchorage. We've talked about a few things here on this program so far, and our Alaska Teen Media Institute reporter had some kids from her school mention some opportunities. But maybe you could start by telling us some of the things that you know that kids can do to get involved in town.
The Anchorage's Promise Youth Advisory Board, I'm pretty sure, we have open arms. People are always welcome here. And as well as just, if you like something, find something you enjoy doing. Go to the Boys and Girls Club if you're always there. Say, hey, is there something I can do maybe to help make a difference? Or is there, just ask somewhere if there's something you can do. Or I know one thing I did was youth court because I'm an aspiring defense attorney. So I was like, hey, Mom, I'm going to be an attorney. So what do I need to do to get there? I didn't know I was doing community service. I didn't know I was volunteering. So that all kind of goes back to the whole, if you find something you enjoy doing, you don't really notice you're helping people. Well, you do, but it's just not like it's pressured upon you. So that's just what I say. Or if you play a musical instrument, try to play it for like your grandmother and her friends or something at an elderly home or something like that.
Debbie Bogart, could you help listeners who are all fired up and want to get their families volunteering and their children volunteering? What are some of those first places to go to look for those opportunities in our region?
I think one of the places to go would be KPASA Facebook, and that's a Facebook that's it was generated out of an Anchorage youth
Anchorage United for Youth.
Thank you. Anchorage United for Youth plan. And it's a product that we all place and post our opportunities for youth to be volunteering in. We also have United Way has some opportunities for youth and teens there. They're welcome to contact our office. Any of the organizations in our community that are youth-oriented, like Boys and Girls Club, Campfire, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, they all want youth volunteers, and they're good places to go. Go to your career counselor at your high school and ask them for information, or your high school counselor. They also have information on activities principal, on where kids can volunteer. So it's connecting the dot, going back to your interest and finding what might work. Faith-based, look at your youth pastor. They probably have a lot of opportunities in their community too. So we as adults need to help our kids connect to those areas of interest and be creative.
And are there some sort of sure to be a great fit with little kid type opportunities? For example, like the creek cleanup that happens mm-hmm. once a year here in Anchorage.
Right. That's with our schools. I mean, we can have the citywide cleanup that will be happening soon. Yes, every elementary school here in Anchorage has an opportunity for students to get engaged and clean up their community area and their school grounds and be involved in that great big cleanup that we need, or to get involved with the Parks Department for street cleanup. Maybe you want to go to the Perennial Gardens and work there as a volunteer, or at the zoo, or at your local animal care shelter. There's lots of opportunities there for you to connect with.
And of course, from kidsthesedays.org, we will be linking to the organizations that Debbie Bogart just mentioned, and also to the organizations represented by Heather Jack, who is also a guest on this program, and to the Anchorage Youth Court, since we have Nyla Riley with us today as well. I'd like to thank all of you for being guests on Kids These Days this hour. It's really been fun to have this conversation. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Heather Jack joined us by phone from Massachusetts. She's the founder of The Volunteer Family and Future Philanthropists. You can link directly to those organizations, as I said, from our website, kidsthesedays.org. Debbie Bogart is the executive director of Anchorage's Promise, the Alliance for Youth. And Nyla Riley, who's 14, serves on the Anchorage's Promise Youth Advisory Board. Don't forget, this Saturday is Kids Day at the Dena Center. Come on over to kidsthesedays.org and we'll link you to Anchorage's Promise and more information about Kids Day 2011. Come on out and visit all the youth-serving organizations that will be hosting activities for kids. And come on over to the Kids These Days booth. Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez and I will be there, and we'd love to say hello to you in person.
Volunteerism is part of some school districts' graduation requirements. The Chugach School District, which includes the areas of Tetitlik, Chenega Bay, and Whittier, plus a large extension school program throughout Alaska, requires that service learning be a mandatory part of each school year, from grades K all the way through 12. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, the producer of Kids These Days, and I spoke with Stephanie Burgoon, head teacher at the Whittier Community School. She joins us now to talk about how volunteering starts in the classroom. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us on Kids These Days.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me more about the Chugach School District. We already know what areas it covers, but where are you specifically, and what is Whittier Community School like?
Well, Whittier Community School is located in the tiny town of Whittier. Whittier only has about 150 residents in the winter. Our school is very tiny, pre-K through 12. We have about 25 students. We're located directly on Prince William Sound, so we look out our classroom windows and look right out on the water. And we're a performance-based school, so our students aren't necessarily put into grades. Instead, they are in 10 different content areas based on their performance in those content areas. And they're able to pass through those content areas by taking a variety of assessments and doing a lot of different kinds of performance tasks.
Ages K through 12, they're all required to complete a service learning aspect each year. What are some of those projects?
Well, what we try to do with doing everything kindergarten through 12th grade, obviously a kindergarten project is going to look very different than a 12th grade project. So when our students enroll in school here as kindergartners, we automatically place them in a level one of a personal social service content area. And so at that level one and level two, they're participating in those teacher-directed projects. So that might look like a cooking something for the elders of the community, or cleaning up around the community, doing things that are very locally based, but things that are more teacher-directed.
by the time they get into level three, then they get guidance, but the students are planning these different projects. And then by the time they get into level five, then those students are expected to independently plan and implement service projects for their own community.
Okay, so level five would be about what age?
Level five typically is upper middle school.
Okay, so like
maybe seventh, eighth grade, and then we go through level seven. So mm-hmm. level seven is our graduation level, and that can be anywhere between 10th and 12th grade.
Okay, and so those older kids, what are some of the projects that they're doing? And are the projects, are they just in Whittier, or they go outside of Whittier?
Our projects definitely go outside of Whittier. In fact, our school is, our high school students, three of our high school students are leaving next week to go on a science/service field trip. So we're going down to the lower 48, and we're going to be doing some science in the lower 48, but we're also going to be in Texas, where I'm originally from, and be doing some service projects down there. So that it extends outside of their local area where we start them as young children, so that they are expanding into different areas of Alaska and into the lower 48 doing some service projects. So down there, they'll be working in a dog kennel and mm-hmm. doing some service projects in a dog kennel that was designed by some local folks who wanted to help get do a non-euthanasia kennel.
Whittier is pretty small, like you said. I think you even mentioned that it's considered rural. Even so, I'm wondering, of the projects that you do in Whittier, what are some of the specific needs of that kind of a very small, geographically isolated community that some of your students have maybe been able to address?
That's a good question, because when you only have 150 people in a community, we're all helping each other out all the time. We don't have much choice in that.
Mm-hmm.
So because we all do live in the one building together, sometimes those service projects can be as simple as shoveling out a car or helping somebody unload their groceries when the wind is blowing 90 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those small things that students are doing every day to help their own community members, those are things that count toward our service projects. That way they understand that service is a part of your everyday life. It's not just the one project that you do once a year, that you go out and clean the community. That is part of the service, but also it's those everyday things that you can do for your own community members that hopefully will allow them to have that lifelong commitment to service. And that's really our goal with all of our service learning projects, is that when they leave Whittier Community School, and whether they stay in Whittier or they go out and work somewhere in Alaska, or if they leave Alaska altogether and work outside of our state, that they still have that commitment to wanting to do for other people selflessly, to be that commitment to service throughout their lives.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us, Stephanie Burgoon, head teacher at Whittier Community School.
Thank you so much.
I'm Sarah Gonzalez.
Well, it's happened again. Another hour of Kids These Days has come to an end. Thanks so much for being with us today. Next up on Kids These Days, we're packing our luggage. We've got another family travel show for you. Guests Scott McMurrin of the Alaska Travel Gram and Aaron Kirkland of AK On The Go come back to talk with me about their top five summer family travel trips, both in and out of state. We'll also get a live family travel update from Kids These Days' own Jessica Cochran and our When I Was Young feature, Alaskans Remember Their Own Childhood Trips. Join us for all of that next time. Kids These Days had help today from Aviva Hirsch, who comes to us by way of the Alaska Teen Media Institute. Jessica Cochran is our regular contributor. Sarah Gonzalez produces this program. She also keeps the kidsthesedays.org site going for you 24/7. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I'll see you next week.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the hosts, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on the program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA 91.1 FM Anchorage, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.